Hi, everyone, and welcome to Vanderpump Rules Party. But check it, we've got a special episode today. This is going to be a retrocast, and I've got Chad here, fan favorite.
We are back, everybody, back in effect. We took a little break, and I apologize for that. It's been quite a while since we picked up the mics, but we're gonna do this for you guys and get back on track. You know, my job doesn't permit a lot of free time, so it was a little difficult there for a while. But we're gonna try to get back on track and get you guys these episodes, the retrocasts. Like we said, we want to go all the way up to the current season. So if we can, you know, we'll do it for you guys. You know, this is a long time coming.
Definitely. So we are going to do season 2, episode 2. That's where we left off. And this is a wonderful episode to leave off on. It's titled Branded. And this is the episode where our favorite character, Jax, gets a tattoo of Stassi's name, her signature to be exact.
This was kind of like the turning point, I think, of the it was like the transition of the new cast, I would say. This is like where their personalities really break through. This is where you start to see who they really are. Because we went to the first season of, you know,
right,
everybody's on their P's and Q's, their best behavior, you know, their masks are on. But this season, you really start to see their real personalities, like... it's hard to explain, but I feel like this is that episode. The first episode of season 2 was, you know, kind of just a little continuation, just some BS. But this one, I feel, really starts to show where they're going and who they are. One for one, Jax, and whatever he does in this episode kind of sets the tone for what he does later on in further episodes, and sort of his personality with relationships, with girlfriends and whatnot. He establishes this pattern, and it's real plain to see in this episode.
Yes. Yeah, so the episode opens up with Lisa Vanderpump talking about how she wants to put another bar into the garden at Sir. And she's kind of talking about that she doesn't want it to be confused with Pump. You know, that this is a different bar that's going to be opened up at Sir. Have you been to Sir?
No, never.
Oh, my God. Okay. That's right. The last time that we went, you babysat the kids for us. And we were going to bring you out after, but everyone was so drunk that just wouldn't have worked out.
Yeah, I don't really get to get out that much.
So. That sucks.
I can't.
We'll have to go there one day, because it really is, like, you guys probably just think that, like, oh, it's because, like, you're a fan of the show, you like the restaurant, but it's a really fun, sexy, unique restaurant. It really is. It's cool. Like, you walk in and it's like, it's exactly like on TV. It's glamorous. It's cool. But I do have a small comment about this whole bar sitch. Lisa is talking about putting a bar in the garden because, you know, it gets packed for drinks and stuff. Well, P.S., this says not, there is a bar there. It's installed. I have photos of it, but it's never opened. And you can never get a drink. So it's a huge problem. And I don't think that they have figured out how to fix that yet. But anyways, let's move on. The other thing that kind of came up was Katie, who we're starting to see, like, this, I feel like in episode 2, well, it started it with episode 1. It was kind of like a shock that Katie was getting featured more to ask, like, she's like forming a relationship with Lisa, and she's asking Lisa, can you hire my boyfriend to be a bartender? He'd be a great bartender. And I remember thinking back then, like, what the heck? Like, why is she even talking to Lisa? This is like a weird formation thing going on here.
Yeah, no, this is what I was talking about with the...
like the characters coming into their own?
The development. Yeah, right. Yeah. But more in a way where you start to see their masks kind of slip. You see their quirks and all their
right.
personalities. Like, it's like when you meet somebody right? First time, first impression, right? You may go on a couple of dates with them as opposed to knowing them a year later.
Right.
Like all that romanticized vision of them is gone. And that's kind of what's happening here.
Yeah.
You start to see Katie, you know, kind of with her deal and Tom and all that stuff. And yeah, they're pushing her to the forefront here. And I think the way they did that was she was kind of like, okay, these guys were Stassi's friends. Kristen, Stassi's friend, Katie, Stassi's friend. They're background players, right? Who are they, right?
Right.
No one cares. Kristen kind of set herself apart with her attitude. Katie was still kind of like, me. So what did they do? Dyed her hair blonde or orange, whatever the hell the color this is. And that's how this season started off.
That and bringing the dynamic of featuring Schwartz a little bit more, because we kind of got like a glance in at her dysfunctional relationship, which, you know, she's always kind of judging Stassi for the way the choices that she makes. And then to see that like her dude is like a halftime kind of model that needs a job is kind of, it was like, ugh, you know, a little.
He seems like the kind of guy that sits around all day playing video games or, you know, masturbating, something like that.
Totally. Or smoking pot.
Yeah. Yeah. One of those things. But they talk about how they started off here and they ended up there. Cause you know, we're watching the new season with the wedding and all that.
Yeah.
We look back on this relationship. It didn't really seem to be very
like blissful from the beginning.
No, not at all. They didn't really seem to be going anywhere from the beginning. And this was the beginning, right?
Yeah. No, I think on screen, I believe there was like, I think there's like 2 years we didn't see.
Hmm.
But yeah, I agree. Everything that we've seen, I don't know. And then like listening to other podcasts, when other people talk about them, like they're like, well, you know, there's moments when they're cute. Like sometimes like they'll call each other on the phone and be like super sweet. Like, hi, Bubba. And hi, Bubba. Like that's like the length that like a friend, a good friend of theirs, like that's how they talk about them. You know, like that's the best part they see are the phone calls where they Bubba each other.
Yeah. But what we see Jax start doing here is kind of, this is the episode I felt was the turning point for him, or it kind of gave us some real insight into where he was going.
Okay, I just have a quick question though. I mean, and maybe this is annoying with like how I was just wondering, like rewatching this episode, was it possible that in season two, episode two, they were setting us up for the wedding of season five? Because think about it. Katie wants to be proposed to. Okay. She makes that very clear in this episode. But by Tom being, you know, the way he is and working these odd end jobs and enjoying staying home a lot and kind of living off of the jobs and not, you know, really coming into his own, he's not going to be able to propose. So that's why she's asking Lisa, like, hook him up with a steady job. But that is a storyline right there. Like that, she's saying she wants to be proposed to. She's letting us know there's a problem with his work. Were they producing season five right there? Like, was this a storyline? That's what I'm asking.
I don't think so.
I do.
I don't think they,
I do.
I don't even think they anticipated these guys even staying together or being a factor down the line. Like there's a lot of change in the next couple seasons, a very dramatic change.
Yeah, I think so too. But like, think about how much she likes Katie. Lisa, I'm talking about Lisa Vanderpump, and now she's going to be starting a business with Schwartz.
Like, No. This is what I think. I think the cast was very, dispensable, or
right.
You know, they didn't care. They were going to pull like a thing where it's a new cast maybe every season.
Yeah, some that's new true. People come that's in, true.
And
that's
they tried
true.
To do that.
Okay,
they almost accomplished that, and then I think someone stopped them. I don't know who it was. But someone very powerful came and stopped and said, no, look, this is the cast we got to keep together. For some reason, we can't bring new people in. And
Well, I believe that Andy Cohen, like right away when this idea was pitched to him, he heard the idea, heard that there was a group of friends, and then when he like actually saw how tangled it up was, and he like watched their interviews, their tryout tapes, whatever those are called,
auditions,
he like flipped out and was like, "This is it! Like this is the cast that is just like crazy." So anyway, so Lisa kind of lets Katie know, like, I just haven't had a lot of luck with having couples work for me. And so we can only think that she's talking about, Kristen and Tom, T. Sandy, and Stassi and Jax. And she is just not willing to have another one come in and possibly, you know, be a problem.
I don't know why she's giving Tom such a hard time here, because I don't know, maybe she just doesn't see the potential in him, but he seems like he's an okay, you know.
And this is when Schwartz lets us, the viewers, know in his confessional that he has a major crush on Lisa Vanderpump, and this has been a theme that has continued from season two on. I mean, he has constantly brought up the fact that he has a crush on Lisa Vanderpump. How do you feel about Lisa Vanderpump?
Like, physically?
Yeah.
Like, she's okay.
Oh.
Am I attracted to older women?
I mean, like, do you get where he's coming from?
Yeah. I mean, she's attractive, yeah.
I mean, again, like, in person, she is like beyond stunning. So I totally understand where he's coming from. So yeah, I don't know. I thought that was funny though. And yeah, it's totally continued on. He totally has a crush on Lisa. So the next major shift that we see in this episode, and really this is a big change that I think that you were talking about in the beginning, Sheena. Okay, Sheena in season one, I don't know, like, was she a standout character to you? She was like the girl from Villa Blanca that fought with Stassi. That's pretty much it.
I thought she was going to be either Stassi's, like, rival, or maybe like a best, like an evil best friend or something like that. They couldn't really establish a spot for Sheena, really. And I kind of feel like they bumped her to here, to there, and then they just went with, you know, the marriage storyline. It's like when they can't figure out something to do with somebody, it's just like, let's get them married, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so like, wait, they can't figure out what to do with Tom and Katie. Let's just get them married. Or no, we can't figure out what to do with Sheena and this guy Shay. Yeah, let's just get them married. Okay, boom, here's a wedding.
No.
We can't figure out what to do with Tom and Katie. All right, let's just get, here's a wedding. Boom, they're married. We can't figure out what to do with Jax and Brittany. No, let's just get them married. Boom, here's a wedding. It's kind of following the same pattern.
I mean, that's dark, but I guess it could be true. Do you think maybe it's like either we're going to get rid of you, or are you going to be on board to go psycho and do a wedding?
I think a little bit of both. And I think they just can't come up with anything new, anything shocking.
Well, and there's nothing like a wedding that really adds stress and just jealousy to a group.
Well, at this age, most of the people there's so much you can do with fighting in relationships.
Yeah.
In the way that, I mean, like, okay, they're in their mid-30s or early 30s, mid-20s. There's only so many times that they can be like, oh, you know, hey, we broke up. We broke up again. Oh, yeah. So we're dating. I'm dating a new guy. We broke up. It seems to sound, it starts to seem real pathetic. They're at that time where they're like, okay, let's interject marriage into the equation. They're too old to be doing the whole dating and breaking up thing, but they're right at the perfect age to be marrying and divorcing.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's, again, it's twisted, but I think you're right.
And okay. I think we're going to start seeing a lot more weddings.
In this franchise?
Yes.
So who do you predict? Jax and Brittany?
Yeah. Well, no. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Or you think Kristen and Carter?
I'm thinking more of Tom Sandoval and Ariana.
I mean, she said she hasn't wanted, she doesn't really care about that, but she would do it for him.
That's the drama right there. That's the drama. That if
the feminist gets married like that.
Yeah, they're trying to create some sort of tension.
All right,
that's a good one.
I feel you on that one. It's unexpected.
Like, what's she gonna do? Like, she's not into, you know, girly things and dresses.
Like, what's her bachelorette party gonna be like, and is she gonna ask Katie to be a bridesmaid because Katie didn't want her to be Tom's groomsman?
Maybe they'll flip it on its head where every season we had a bridezilla, Tom's gonna be the groomzilla.
Oh god, that is brilliant. Drop the mic right there.
You know what I mean? Like, we're gonna get Tom you know, with four or five different hairstylists, all with the product lined up. He's freaking out. He's like, where's my straightener?
Okay, seriously, stop. Like, how have I not thought of this? That's the most brilliant idea. You probably just gave the producers, like, season whatever the heck the next season is. Not the one that's already been filmed, because they probably didn't think of it. Probably season 7.
Because, I mean, we had Sheena with her, you know, planning and freaking out. We had...
Well, and it's just so pushing the envelope, because T. Sandy is just so unique in that, you know, he is a straight man, yet he is just like, so like, he 100% would be the bridezilla. It would be amazing. Like, could you imagine him trying to style everyone?
Yeah.
Or giving his input on Ariana's dress?
Oh, that's good.
Or like, you know, like micromanaging like his bachelor party. Like, it would just be insane.
Yes. That would be good. I mean, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
I'd love to see that. Yeah, take that down for some future notes. Like
I could see, like, for some reason right now, like, I'm envisioning like a comic book. Like, we could seriously draw a comic of this. Like, we could start it out from like how he would propose, and he'd like, he would like go and like pick out his outfit, and then he would 100% make it like so about him, where he would like involve everyone and make everyone be there, like, and like, yeah, like, get in your places, guys, this is my day, like, don't ruin this, like, Jax, get over there, you know. And then Jax would like be late or something, or like forget the ring, and right as he got down on his knee, like, Jax would drop his phone and miss the shot of taking a picture or something. Like, it would just be so good.
He can plan like the perfect times to cry, like all of his, you know,
yes,
crying points. I mean, we'd have another instance of best man.
Yeah, and then like the, like, a big cliffhanger would be like, is Kristen Doty going to be invited? Because, you know, she was an important part of his life, the one who taught him how to play guitar and like all these things. And, you know, is she going to be included?
And she made, and maybe that would be the opportunity for her to drop the bomb. Like, okay, so this is the wedding is the finale. Okay.
Yeah.
The bachelorette party, or the bachelor party, is usually the penultimate.
Yeah.
The episode leading up to. All right. So the cliffhanger for that episode would be, I don't know, Tom, this is coming from Kristen. Maybe it's just, I still have feelings for you. Maybe there's still something there. Cut to,
there'd have to be a lot of build up to that to make that work for me, because I just think that is like so severed, but maybe you're right. Maybe there's something there. Here's another idea. They don't leave for their honeymoon right after the wedding. You know, sometimes people like plan that they leave like 2 days after and then they go to Hawaii or something.
Uh-huh.
They get back from their wedding reception. Ariana's still in her dress. Tom is still head to toe makeup, outfit, everything. He brings her over the threshold into the apartment, the same apartment that they've had all these years, where he has shared it with Kristen, shared it with Ariana, and they get the shot of him Ariana carries him in. And he like, or when like they, when it's like, you may now kiss the bride, like he lifts his foot up.
Yeah. A little leg in the back.
Like, he's like Ken.
Do you think he'll wear
like
his
Barbie
lifts?
And Ken, he's like Ken.
Do you think he'll wear his lifts? His shoe lifts?
I don't think so. Cause he wouldn't need to. She's little.
Yeah. Yeah. You forgot to mention also, he lived there with Ariana, Doty, and the girls, the twins.
Oh, yeah. From season 1.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I just thought of another thing. You know how normally it's a big deal when the bride throws her bouquet?
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times, like, no one cares about the garter belt being thrown.
Yeah.
Everyone would care this time because he would have designed the most perfect garter belt for Ariana, and he would make sure that everyone knew about it. And, like, let's say Jax and, why can't I think of anyone else's name? Schwartz. Everyone's like super hammered and they're like dancing, having fun. And he's like, guys, come on. It's time for me to throw this. Like, don't you want to catch it?
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, no, like, we don't care. We actually don't want to get married. And he's like, you got, like, he's going to have a meltdown and everyone's going to be like, oh my God, like, what is his problem? And Ariana's going to be like, oh my God, like, he's so funny.
He's going to have different. He's also going to have different tuxedos or outfits for different points within the wedding.
100%. He's going to have changes. Yes.
So he's going to have the walking down the aisle.
I think he would even take it as far as, like, he would design, like, outfits for Lisa's dogs. You know, like, he would go, like, he'd be like, Lisa, I just want to present you with, like, this for, I hope that, you know, Jiggy can wear it. Or, you know, like, he's going to, like, the details down to everything will be handled by him.
Even the
seating chart.
Yes.
All that. The playlist.
What do you think he'll play at his own wedding?
He'll 100% have a live band. It will not be a DJ. It'll be a live band. He is a live band type, not a DJ type.
Do you think he'll perform a song for her? Anything like that?
Oh God, what if he like came down the aisle singing? Oh wait, he doesn't go down the aisle. He stands at
the... He might though. It might be switched up. He might come down the aisle.
Oh, I mean, there's so much you could do.
There's so
with
much possible. There's so many possibilities.
Okay. Let's keep going. Because there's so much to this episode. Okay. Yeah. So here's the latest thing. Sheena is making moves. So you know how in season one we were like, dude, Stassi knows exactly what she's doing. Like, she womped on season one. Stassi won season one.
Mm-hmm.
Season two belongs to Sheena already. She has already thrown her birthday party, thrown a scene in. Episode one, episode two, we come up. She rolls up with Pandora to Lisa's house. She BFFs up with Pandora, which is just like the biggest threat to Stassi.
This was like political positioning at its finest, right here.
Oh yeah,
like, Stassi. Didn't even like Stassi has nothing on there. Stassi thought she had the game cornered, and you could even see it in their faces in the previous episode when they left her birthday. They were like, Sheena was like, you know, you're doing this.
Yeah, she's like, come back up here.
And then they pulled the whole, well, we don't even want to be here. Like, have fun at your party. Like, we don't care what you have to say. Bye. And
when she turned around on those heels that Pandora bought her and stomped back inside, you knew hell was to be paid. And that's exactly what she did. She rolls up to Lisa's house with Pandora and straight up tattles on them. Tattles that Schwartz lost his ish at the birthday party. And Lisa straight up goes, you know what? I don't want that drama. I'm not hiring him. Boom. She is the one who single-handedly, well, I guess you could say that Schwartz was, you know, to blame for his actions by not being hired. But Sheena went over to the house, to Lisa's house, and tattled.
Yeah, it was a good show of...
It's like becoming best friends with your teacher's daughter and, like, really being a good friend. So the teacher's, like, not going to give you, like, an F. She's going to, even if you're a crappy student, she'll be like, well, here's a C because you're nice to my daughter.
Well, it's like, you know, you have the girls in school and the mean girls and the popular girls, whatever. Stassi is running that crew. You tried to become a part of that. You couldn't even join them. So what are you going to do? You're going to try to beat them, go around to the teacher and make their lives hell at school.
But Pandora, unfortunately, isn't a big enough player in the game to have Sheena's back. Like, in the whole scheme of things, Sheena is in a good position because she has Lisa and Pandora. But when Sheena has to go do social things with the group, she's getting her butt handed to her. So
yeah, but think about it though. Who is still working there out of all of them? You know what I mean? Especially around this time in the next couple seasons. Kristen is
fired.
Yeah. Stassi is gone.
Right.
I don't know what's going on with Katie. What happens to her? She's just
she kinda stays.
But you know what I mean? Like,
but she was, yeah. She's never been working when I've been there. So,
but Sheena finds a way to kind of sort of take them all down in that arena. You
right,
know
right,
I mean?
Right.
So she gets her payback.
The other thing that is kind of funny is as Sheena is tattling, as she's walking up to Lisa's house, I'm sorry, as she's on crutches to Lisa's house, she lets Lisa know that her foot is hurt. And Lisa's like, oh no, darling, what is going on? And she's like, don't worry, it's only for a week. And so like the camera pans down, you're like, oh my God, she broke her foot, it's in a cast, or oh my gosh, she must have burned her foot, it's blistered up, or something like that. No, it's like legit ace bandage. Not even an ace bandage, smaller than an ace bandage. Like one that goes around like 1.5 times with like a butterfly clip.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I bruised my foot. Like, I'm sorry, she did not say bruise. She used a way bigger word, which this is what you do for a living. So I should have written it down. Something, she's like, it's like a she used the...
Hematoma.
Thank you. She's like, I have, you know, and she's like, do you want to see it? And Lisa's like, God, no, just leave the little ace bandage on. But she has to show it. So again, like the camera like slowly goes down. And so we're, you know, as viewers, we're like, oh my God, like, I don't want to see it. Gross. Why are they showing this? It's the tiniest bruise ever. I'll give it to you. It is black and blue, but just like a little circular bruise on her foot. And that's why she has it wrapped up. And at this point, Lisa's like, all right, this chick is like, because she's really starting to just constantly go off. You know, first we had the tooth. Now we're dealing with the foot. Next, we have something else come up.
Do you think she developed this after the party? Maybe she, in a fit of rage, stomped home the whole way?
I forget how she said it happened. It doesn't even matter.
No, I mean, it's always something with her,
like, oh, she said, here's the how could I forget this? She says that she fell in a hole wearing flip-flops walking, and Lisa Vanderpump says, I told you to never wear flats, darling, that's why you got hurt.
This is her technique. I've seen this with people before, with people like in my own life, where they utilize
pity.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's always something. You know what I mean? Like, there's always...
You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's some people are not comfortable just walking up to a group of people and just standing there and being themselves. And, like, that energy has to be enough for people to talk to them. They have to have a story. They have to have a full-on beginning-to-end story as to why they're standing there, explain what is going on with them, and then you better feel sorry for them. Like, it's like an anxiety technique. It's like, I'm not comfortable. So look at, I hurt my foot and it's a hemoglobin. What's it called?
Hematoma.
what did I say?
Hemoglobin.
What's that?
Something that's found in blood.
Okay. But you know what I mean? Like, it's a shtick.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's used to make friends or it's used to make, a thing used to make friends easier to make friends.
It's like an opener. Like
No. I think it's more than that. I think it's like they always have to do this for some reason. It's like, what is it? I don't know.
Okay.
But she's always doing this.
Well, we'll have a million more times to address it because she does it like 100 more times in this season. So
yeah, I mean, the previous episode we just had, she was crying to Stassi about her freaking tooth.
So, yes. So the other news that kind of happens at Lisa's house is, once again, she's kind of airing her disappointment that Stassi is just not pulling her weight on her online magazine articles that she's supposed to be writing. And Sheena says, well, gosh, you know, I'm not going to be able to work for a week. Like, maybe I have a bachelor's degree in journalism. That's what I do. That's who I am. Maybe, you know, I could help you out and I could write something. You know, I'm not gonna take Stassi's position, but, you know, I could definitely be a contributor. Well, Pandora's all over it because there's someone eager and willing to like turn things in on time. And so Lisa likes that someone is excited. She wants Pandora to succeed and she wants her to have friends. So I think like this is like, she's like, okay, good, go Sheena. So Sheena's going to write about makeup. And I don't know if you've seen season one Sheena makeup or season 2.1 and 2.2 of Sheena makeup, but it was definitely Kardashian-esque and totally just like in that like 2000 version of like how makeup was. I don't know. So it was a little funny to hear that she was going to be writing about makeup.
Yeah. What were the, what did this look like around this time makeup? What was the look? Was it dark, not dark lipstick, right?
That's, yeah. Like, no, I mean just like super bronzed, big, horrible eyelashes, you know, just like tarantula eyelashes, thick eyeliner, kind of like Jasmine from the Disney movie, you know, like very animated. And
wasn't it also
like Kimmy K back in the day?
Yeah was that look also the where your face tone matches your lips too? Like,
yeah, she definitely did kind of like the same lip that Britney's mom Sherry did in,
yes, kind of like that.
Yes.
I think Sherry probably has a little bit of she gets her fashion sense probably from watching old Kardashian rerun episodes, you know.
I mean, everyone's making fun of Sherry and everything, but dude, she looks good.
She seemed to step it up in the last...
Oh, she has, like, there is Sherry 2.0 now. Like, now no one can F with her. Like,
not
she
on the show.
No, after.
Right now.
Just like Jax and Brittany did.
In real life.
They both lost, like, 30 pounds each and look...
I mean...
Excuse me.
No,
so
I mean,
good.
If you have a trainer and you... See, these are the things that people don't know outside of like the entertainment industry. Because yeah, I know I'm famous, but no. The things that set them apart typically is they'll have a
meal delivery service.
That they'll have a trainer.
Yeah, a trainer, a nutritionist, and like a makeup person and a stylist.
Yes, those are the most important things to establishing a look. You cannot pick out your own clothes. I don't care who you are. I don't care how fashionable you are. Stassi or Sheena, anybody, every one of them has made fashion faux pas and mistakes because you can see that little bit of like of guilty pleasures come in and out, right? Like,
yeah,
too much glitter, or she may be wearing you know, too high of a heel or something. You get what's it called? Fashionist, what's it
called? A stylist.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm just like totally off tonight. I'm just, give me some time here. You get a stylist, they'll pimp you out big time, and you'll be legit. I think that's what some of the cast has found.
Can I get a stylist?
Sure.
Okay.
I think everybody needs a stylist.
Okay. So yes. So Stassi gets wind of this. So she's trying to work and she hates working. Almost every single time that we have Stassi working, which isn't a lot, where she actually is in the restaurant, in the whole series of Vanderpump Rules, you know, she's only there for what, probably like 12 episodes or something where she's actually working. And most of those, I would say she's like, can I get cut? No one's in my section. Like, I want to go home. She's always wanting to go home.
Yeah. Remember the person that always wanted to go home?
Yes.
Remember that? They were always the first to be like, why are we even here? Like,
you know what though? And this is where like I will side with Sheena. Chad and I both worked at a super, super popular restaurant that was very Sir-esque. Everyone, I mean, that's where we hooked up.
Yeah.
It's where like we're like the Tom and Katie of the restaurant. Yeah.
Before there was a Tom and Katie.
Yeah. Except for like we're not like them, but we're like Lisa and Ken.
Yeah.
Anyways. where was I going with that? Oh, the people who always were trying to get cut, like, it would be like, dude, what the hell? You've had one table. You probably made $6. Like, you really want to go home? You make $9 an hour. Like, what? And they just wanted to get drunk or go hook up. Like, they didn't care about money, probably, because their mommy and daddy were paying for everything. True. And then we would stay, cover their ass, because they had to peace out. And then it would set, like, their... It would never fail. As soon as someone would get cut, there'd be a rush and everyone would be sweating their ass off, covering for them. And that's what everyone complains about with Stassi. And I believe it. Actually, last time we were at Sir, someone said the best thing about working at Sir now is that Stassi doesn't work there, and because they pool their tips, and like now, like everyone works hard. They still are talking about that. They still remember her laziness.
Do they... okay, well, wait, they pull their tips.
Just like, remember how they used to do, how, yeah, same thing.
That's what they wanted to do.
Basically, like, if you get cut, you still, like, she's still getting in on that pool. And so they're having to split their money, even though they busted their butts all night.
That's right.
And it doesn't get cut off by the hour.
There was a discussion about this in previous episode.
Yes.
On how Sheena was upset that she was working so hard. That she said some people.
Yes.
She was saying that the other place did it different, right?
Villa Blanca? The other place, she gets to keep what she keeps.
Okay. So you had to work in order to make money.
Right.
You couldn't pull that shit and walk away.
Right.
Ooh, that's some tricky shit, Stassi.
Yeah. I mean, but but it's like, in the end, like, now that we're older and like we look back on things, like, should we have worked so hard? Should we have sweated, or should I have plunged toilets and cleaned up puke and stuff? Like, I don't know. Maybe I should have pulled a Stassi and just left and been like, F them.
Yeah.
Like, what does doing, like, being a good person get you?
Yeah. But I mean, it doesn't prepare you for anything down the line, because eventually you're going to have to be, you're going to be either a worker or a boss. You know what I mean? So what are you prepared to do?
Right.
If you've done it all, you can be a boss. If you went home every night, you're not going to be a very good boss.
Yeah. Well, or you're just like an a-hole boss that doesn't understand how hard your people work for you.
She doesn't have that. She doesn't have that ability to do.
You see, you aren't as invested as I am. Like, if you saw the way she's bossing around her best friend, Alex, like, you would puke.
Is it? She's still there?
Yeah.
Stassi brought in a friend from what?
A friend came to visit her from home, and
from her homeland. Where is she from again? Lake Arrowhead? Is that where she's from? Oh, no, wait. Where is she from?
New Orleans. And so, anyways, I mean, I'm not going to comment on that, but it's saying a lot the way she's treating her friend. Okay. So, anyway, so Stassi's trying to work. She's trying to get off, and she is trying to get Jax to make her some drinks. And Jax is like, come on, like, take a shot with me, or like, have a glass of wine. And Stassi doesn't want a drink. And
I'm real confused here. This is a real confusing time, because Frank is gone, right? Frank is gone.
Frank is mentioned in this episode. Frank has, we'll get to that, but he is brought up later.
He's
gone, but they're communicating.
Okay. I don't know where she's taking Jax right now. It's a strange transition. It's a strange period.
You really think this is strange? Like, this is so... This is why I loved Vanderpump Rules. I related to it so much, because this is real life. You break up with someone in the restaurant. You're still seeing them. She admits in this episode that she has effed him 3 times since they've broken up. And like, how typical is that? We would see people break up all the time, and then we'd see them like saunter off together, and we'd know they're going home to you know what. And it's because like, people can't help but continue to hook up until the other person hurts the other one so bad because they're with another partner and happy, and then they cut it off.
Yeah, it's a strange transition right now between season 1 and season 2.
And I just think like, the loneliness, like, on both of their parts, like, they cannot handle it.
They definitely have gone back 100 steps.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Because it was progress, and then it was a lot of...
Well, they were both like angry, and then like, Frank went away, and Laura Lee went away. And that's kind of like, and that's where they are.
I mean, the last season ended with Jax confessing to the whole Vegas thing.
Right.
And Stassi was like, I'll never trust him again. It's like, it seemed like it was finished for good. And the whole cast was glaring at Jax.
Yeah. Okay, so Jax is begging Stassi to go to dinner with him. Like, he wants to just, he just wants a, you know, he's, it's like the girl who needs to talk it out with the boyfriend that dumped her. You know, he's like, come on, like, let's just go to dinner. Like, we could just be friends. Like, we could, you know, I mean, we did enjoy each other's company at one point. Like, come on, like, let's just go hang out. Let's go have dinner. So you would think Stassi would, I mean, she said she hated him. She said she'd never trust him again, just like you just said. But you can tell she's doing that little smile thing with him where she's like, she loves the effing attention. She can't help it. She loves it. She loves getting attention where she, and especially when he's like really begging for it and he's being like so sweet and he's like, hey, like, I'm doing everything I can here. Like, what else can I do? Like, I'm being your friend. I'm trying to like help you. I like, do you want some wine? Do you want a drink? Do you want a shot? Do you want me to take you to dinner?
He tries way too hard that it's like, get off me, you know, like, get away from me. You're just pathetic. It's like, he's really ruining it. He's not doing himself any favors right here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, would you find that? I mean, I know she likes the attention, but would you find that to be a satisfying turn on or feeling other than just the attention, just for your own ego? But would you see him doing that and go, wow, he's really, this is really making me, you know, want to reconcile?
No, it's, I mean, game recognizes game. I think that in private, she likes it. She likes, because she actually, I think that she still enjoys some time with Jax. I think he can be a charming person. But when it comes to that, she would possibly have to let everyone know in public that she has forgiven him and she is going to put her tail between her legs and be back with him. She's not willing to do that. So then her heart breaks all over again. She gets mad at him again that she's even in this position to have to do this again. And it all starts over until at nighttime she can say, okay, fine, I'll go to dinner with you. And then it happens all over again in the morning.
There's something I want to bring up about future shows or present shows and this episode, which it all makes sense, okay, because they all relate. I don't see any attraction between them right now. Do you? Do you see her? I never see her longingly looking at Jax or reminiscing about the old days or anything like that. Seems like it's kind of just straight over.
The only time that I see her getting like turned on is when she really has him, like, it'd be like a equivalent to like a porno where like the girl like has the guy laying on the ground and like she's like digging her high heel into like his neck and like he's supposed to like it. You know what? Like, it's like the look on her face when she realizes that he got a tattoo of her name. That is when I see her turned on. When she like has made him mutilate his body for like and put something on that, you know what I mean? Like,
so wait. So that's my whole point here. Is this about Jax and their future and their destiny together and her attractedness to him and her love towards him?
No.
Or is this just strictly her need for princess worship?
Yeah.
Because that could come from anybody.
Yeah.
So this may not have anything to do with Jax ever at any point, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
It might have never been about
Jax. And I think it took a while for it to truly heal for her, because I mean, now you can tell like it's, there is nothing there because she's like disgusted by him. But I think that there's something about, if he would have moved on and been happy, like if the Brittany relationship would have come right away, I don't know if Stassi would have ever gotten over Jax. But to the way she dragged it out like this, I think that's how she let herself feel better, because she just pulled him through the gutter until he was so jacked up.
Especially everything.
Jacked up.
Jacked up. Especially, where did he come up with the name Jax, by the way? What's his real name?
Jason.
How did he go from Jason to Jax.
You don't kind of see it? I don't know. Yeah, Sarah and I were talking about that, and we're like, dude, like, we would so be on board for a name change. Like, he's like, hey, guys, I'm not Jax anymore. I'm Jason. Like, that was, you know, that looked good on, like, my headshot and stuff, but, like, I'm a man now. I'm almost 40. Call me Jason. Like, I would be so down with that.
Well, I mean, the ability to get somebody to go with your nickname, like, you don't get to choose your nickname or your new name, like, that usually just happens, right?
Right. Nobody, yeah.
People don't choose their nicknames. And if they do, like, everyone's like, yeah, I'm not going to call you that. There was a skit of that Saturday Night Live or something about, like how do rock stars or people who change movie stars get their old friends or family to, you know, call them by their stage name. It's like... for instance, it was Sting, you know.
Yeah.
Sting.
Yeah. Right?
He was like, oh, hey guys, from now on I'm gonna be called Sting. And they're like, you know, his real name's what's Sting's real? Gordon Matthew Sumner. So he's like, hey guys, you know, I want you to call me Sting from now. And they're like, yeah, okay, Gordon, right on, Gordon. You know what I mean? So, like, where did this come from?
Well,
this Jax.
Can I just bring up another reference, since this is like a retrocast episode and we can get like a little weirder on this platform. My favorite thing of when someone tried to rename themselves a nickname is from the I don't even know what year it was from, but Beach Party with Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon, when their son tries to name himself Knife.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And they're like, Nice? You want us to call you Nice? And he's like, Knife! It's Knife!
Yeah, nobody can dictate their nickname. It just doesn't work, especially around people you've known all your life. They're not going to go with it.
So, speaking of names, I'm going off on a tangent again. Sorry, guys, we'll get right back to it. But I am a huge Spencer Pratt fan. I'm sure you guys are too if you're into reality TV. Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag just had their baby. She just gave birth to a baby boy. And are you ready for the name, Chad?
I'm ready. Is it Jax?
No, it's Gunner Stone. Gunner,
okay.
Gunner Stone Pratt. What do you think?
See, that's what I feel like.
Jax's,
something like that. Yeah, or like I would do that. I'd be like, hey guys, you know, I don't want you to call me Chad anymore, my name's Gunner. And they'd be like,
can't you just picture Spencer saying it though? You know how he like kind of talks like, hey Brody, hey Gunner, like, mm-hmm. He's totally gonna say it like that.
That's strange. I never would have thought of
that Spencer would do that.
That type of that name. Yeah, it seems a real simple. I would think they would go with something a little more crazy. Like,
I like it though. I mean, it's like it evokes an image.
Yeah.
I like cool. It.
It's a like kind of a masculine name, you know. What are some of the other names? What are the Hollywood names right now? I would think they would go
like
more
Apple?
Towards, yeah, like that.
Blue Ivy or yeah, I can't think of anything.
Knox or what are the other
names?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, you yeah.
Know, those names. What's the Brad Pitt kid, the first one they had?
Shiloh. Oh, yeah.
Things like that, you know? Something real.
I mean, it's pretty out there, I would say. But you would think even, like, I thought he'd name it like Crystal or something, like for one of his crystals, or like Hummingbird. I thought he'd name it Hummer. I seriously thought the boy's name was going to be named Hummer. I mean, it sounds like it. Gunner, Hummer, I don't know.
You know what? We talk a lot about reality TV culture, you know, on this podcast as well. So I want to interject some things. I know this is supposed to be just a retro cast because you guys want to go through your favorite episodes and whatnot. But I want to talk about some other things just real quick, a little side note.
Oh, okay? Boy.
I think that, let's go back to 2006, 2007, right?
All right.
Okay. I think a lot of where Vanderpump Rules came from is steeped in the Hills mythology or the Hills culture. I think a lot of where Vanderpump Rules came from was born in MTV's The Hills.
I want to like yell duh right now.
Well, I'm just saying they don't give them enough credit.
The Hills?
anybody. A lot of people.
Oh, I totally. The Hills was freaking groundbreaking. It really. And not in the Laguna Beach way, because some people like to say that's where it started. For LA culture, it like broke the mold for reality TV.
LA culture was not what it was back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, and Paris Hilton's show didn't do that. She went to the farm and crap, but it was Lauren Conrad, Heidi and Spencer, and Audrina, and Kristen Calavari who were bringing it with the Hills. Brody Jenner.
Yeah, they led that new generation.
The clubs, to LA. They do.
Because think about it. Nobody, like, back in the mid-2000s, early 2000s, LA was not something that was talked about other than with the local
community. Wait, which show was first, The Girls Next Door or The Hills? Because that was another one that was pretty centered around LA that was cool.
I think The Girls Next Door came out 2004, 2005.
So before.
A little before, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was on E! And
but that was still seen as like, you know, Hollywood, Beverly Hills, they're a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah.
It wasn't until like a lot of these shows started to show club culture, youth culture in LA.
Yeah.
And that brought it to everybody's, you know, living rooms, living in the Midwest or something. I remember
definitely.
Back in 2005, 2006, I had gone out to Buffalo and there was people out there that were asking me about, oh, do you watch Laguna Beach? Do you know where those places are? I was like, yeah, that's, you know. That's,
yeah, people were obsessed with Laguna Beach.
Laguna
for
Beach.
Sure.
Yeah. Mean, it wasn't even considered a...
Which is a very, like, in Orange County where we live, like, that's a... It's a small city compared to what is here. Like, there's other spots that pop off way harder than that. And yeah, it's kind of a sleepy, rich town, like, where it... I mean, it was shocking to see drama come out of that city.
Yeah, that's a really exclusive beach community. And
not in like a drama way, though.
No, not at all. Uh-huh. Not even something that people think about. It's a very off the beaten path type of.
Yeah.
There's other beaches that people tend to frequent more often. But
yeah.
No, I think a lot of that culture started there. And that influenced a lot of these kids to go ahead and, you know, make the trek and to follow this lifestyle. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. I agree with you on that. So yeah, The Hills definitely laid the foundation for so many reality shows, but definitely I think that's why, like, when The Hills was over, like, you know, like when like your favorite show ends and you just feel like, what the F? And it's like the same with a book or a series, like anything like that. It's horrible.
You're like, what could possibly come next? Like when you're done watching Netflix,
yeah,
binging on a Netflix
show. And then you know that you're not alone in your love for that because everyone, all of your friends watched it too. So every time a series like that ends and then it takes years for something like it to come back, I don't understand what that is. Why not immediately fill it with something that's just like what I wanted? So anyways, it took years for Vanderpump Rules to come on, but when it did, I was like, oh my God, it's not as good as The Hills, but I'll take it because it's giving me The Hills vibes for sure. The music, the shots, the cuts, and then the other thing was like Lauren and Heidi and all them like lived in like upscale apartments. This is like a low rent Hills.
This is real, like, I guess down in gritty working actors.
This is a little more real.
Yeah, I guess you would say that. Yeah.
A little darker.
Yeah. this was you're on your own.
Yeah, this is not painted pretty.
Yeah, you're not coming from
filtered.
You're not coming from a rich background, really.
Yeah, you're not coming from Laguna Beach to LA. You're coming from Detroit. You're coming from Florida. You're coming from, you know, other places.
Which is the majority of LA people,
right?
I would believe they come to LA.
Yeah, this is more of the true thing. So, yeah. Way to go, Vanderpump.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to jump back in because we're going long. We're at 53 minutes in and barely into the episode. Okay, so next up, Pandora has a meeting with Stassi to let her know that Sheena will be writing a makeup column for the site, and they meet at the restaurant. And so Stassi just kind of like sits down with Pandora at a table, totally Lisa Vanderpump style. And I really feel that they're setting Pandora up for a kind of a Lisa Vanderpump role where she, you know, admonishes the cast members like Lisa does. Because she, every time, like, I think Pandora's not going to pull off a scene, she does. And she, like, brings the hammer down. So I got to hand it to her. But anyway, so she's sitting down and Stassi's like, what do you mean Sheena is going to write? Like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And she's like, well, actually, she has a degree in journalism. Well, I don't think Stassi does.
No.
Excuse me. I don't think she graduated.
No.
Maybe, though.
I don't think so.
I know she went to... Okay, anyways. So she's like...
She can't even finish a shift.
Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna... she's gonna do a column on makeup. And Stassi's like, what? Like, how to be, like, an anime character? And, like, at this point, like, Pandora's getting uncomfortable because she's Sheena's friend. And also, Stassi's, like, being disrespectful to her column, to her magazine at this point by slamming on, like, an expert that she's bringing in. Like, it was really disrespectful. Stassi got so mad to the point where she's like, you know this is wrong, Pandora, and, like, stormed off from the table. Like, you know, she does. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised she wasn't like, Pandora, leave. Just get out of my face, because she loves to, like, dismiss people.
Yeah.
She's like, is she going to show us how to do makeup like a fairy or a porn star? Like, I'm not going to take makeup advice from Sheena. So it was just really mean. Probably what all the viewers were thinking, though. And so at this point, Stassi's world is just rocked, because now she's heard that she already knew that Sheena was developing that relationship that was, you know, interfering with her and Pandora. Her and Pandora's relationship is on thin ice because she can never turn in an article. And Pandora is tied to Lisa. So now she's just like filling on the outs. So she gets up, she's like all upset. And, you know, there's brooding Jax who still wants to take her to dinner. And, so that's when she agrees. She's like, fine, I'll go to dinner.
I mean, it's like, look out, Jax. Get ready for some abuse, man, because she's going to take it out all on you.
Yeah. So in between this, I'm sorry, I missed a part. In between this, we have T. Sandy, who is being punished by Kristen Doty in his apartment. And he lets us know that he's trying to make up for the fact that he's in trouble for cheating on Kristen. And he's trying to make her happy. They purchased a coffee table from IKEA that they'd been looking at for, you know, a couple months. They went ahead and splurged on that IKEA table. And she's like, can you put this together? Can you handle that? And so T. Sandy's like, yeah, you know, I've got this. You know, he has a good attitude. You know, he usually has a good attitude. He gets out the parts. He's like, oh, wow, like, this looks like a lot. Kristen is just, like, not having it. She's like, ugh, like, this, like, what's the problem? Like, can you do it or not? Like, have it done by the time I get back. And, like, so she storms out. And we see T. Sandy, like, struggling with this table. And you know how IKEA stuff is. It's, like, comes in, like, a trillion pieces when it's, like, a four-piece table. Like, yeah. With all the little pet, he's like, I think this needs glue. It needs wood glue. Have you ever heard of wood glue? And she's like, I don't know, Tom. Can you do it or not? You know, like, so, like, she's all frustrated. So she leaves. And so in between, like, all this fighting, he's still trying to build this coffee table. And in the end, Kristen has to come home and she's like, move over. And he's like, oh, does that go here? And she's like, get out of my way. And she has to finish it.
Hold on. I just want to say this. Guys, like, this has been brought up in some of the newer episodes of Jax and Brittany, you know, Take Kentucky. And I just want to ask, like, some of the maybe male listeners, where did we lose our ability to be, you know, men, like, to fix things and to put things together? It seems like the roles have been entirely switched here. It's like the women are a lot more masculine than some of the men on this show. Like, what did they say about Jax? He looks like, what did they say again? Brittany's dad had mentioned that he looks like,
He
looks like a lumberjack, but a lumberjack, but he
lumberjacks.
He looks like
whatever, yeah.
Tarzan, but he plays like Jane.
Yes, yes.
That's what we get a lot. Like, these guys, like T. Sandy's, like, you know, he's cut and he's, like, ripped. And Jax and him, they, you know, they work out every day, and but they can't, you know, put together a table.
I feel like the men on this show are like, have like high functioning ADHD. Like, I,
or
like,
they're trapped in like eternal boyhood.
Yeah. Well, know? I like when I saw T. Sandy, like looking at the, instructions, like the print was too little, and like, that's not his forte. Like, he's creative. Like, he can't be confined by like, put the peg in this hole. Like, he like probably could have like made a coffee table if Kristen let him from scratch.
I think this is what I think. That's a good point though. This is what I think. Everybody on this show is doing things that they don't want to do. They're not in there. They're not fulfilling their purpose in life.
Yes.
Stassi's out there dating men that she doesn't care about, and she's going around in circles. She's not like, she's writing columns that she can't finish. If you can't finish a column, you're writing for a fashion column, you can't finish the column, and you're like, oh, I gotta finish it. Maybe you shouldn't be writing. Maybe you don't give a shit about fashion.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Sheena's waiting tables, but she's, you know,
she wants to be a pop star.
She wants to be a pop star. You know, T. Sandy's putting together IKEA furniture, but, you know, he should be planning his own wedding or designing his own suits.
Right.
Tom Sandoval.
Jax should be like a personal trainer. Yes. Or like a supplement salesman.
That's what I think the overall direction of Vanderpump Rules basically is. Maybe these people finding their way, but they need to get on that road. Find what you want to do, find what you love, and do it.
So next, Jax goes to go see a tattoo artist, and he goes with Schwartz, and he wants to see about getting a tribal tattoo covered up, because Stassi mentioned that there is a couple things that he could start with to possibly clean up to get back on the road to her. One is she hates tribal tattoos. Two, she wants him to have his own apartment. So as he's going there, you know, he's like, guys, like, I think I'm going to get Stassi put on my arm. What do you think? And like, even the tattoo artist is like, dude, I don't think it's a good idea. And so that's kind of like the cliffhanger is like, you know, is he going to get it?
Like, what does that accomplish, Jax? What does putting a tattoo on your body of someone's name accomplish? What does that do?
I don't know, but like, with how tatted up Jax is, I actually think it's kind of a smart move on his part, because we saw what it did to Stassi. He could just get it covered up real quick. You know, like, if you just like don't care, it's like, it's like cheaper than like trying to like buy her.
Yeah, I guess, but it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, here, you know, here's, you know, I got 10 grand. This is for you.
Yeah.
Why don't you come over?
So next, Lisa tells Katie, she's like, hey, Katie, can I talk to you for a second? They're at the restaurant. She's like, you know, I just wanted to let you know, I can't hire your boyfriend, Schwartz, to work at Sir. Like, it's just, I really can't get involved with, like, you know, I can't tell you guys who to date and who not to, but I cannot hire another couple. Like, it just doesn't make sense for me. Plus, I heard what happened at Sheena's party. And Katie's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That actually wasn't his fault. And she's like, listen, I don't really care to like get into it. I just wanted to let you know, I'm sorry, I can't hire him. And right away, Katie's like, that effing B Sheena. I know it was her fault. So she like storms over to Stassi to say like, oh my God, guess what? And that's when everything just erupts, because Stassi is already turned about Sheena being doing the makeup thing, and now this, and we see classic Stassi come out. She rolls up and she goes to the hostess stand where Sheena is sitting. Okay, so at Sir, you walk in through like these beautiful like shrubs. I don't even know. It's like all ivy-ish and crap. And you like walk in, and then there's a hostess stand, and you have to check into the hostess stand before you can like enter at all. And so Sheena like has the hostess stand like out a little bit, like even like more in the way. And popping out of the hostess stand to the left is a little stool where she has her leg propped up on, and then her crutches are like oh, like, you know, poking like over the podium. And Stassi's like, can I talk to you for a second? I want to talk to you right now. Can you come into the, come to the back? And she's like, no, I can't. I'm working. And she's like, well, I'm Stassi's like, I'm trying to ask you nicely right now to not make a scene. Get up and come over here. Like, and anyways, like, aren't you like a pop star? Like, why are you trying to write a column? And Sheena's like, how can I be a pop star with this foot? Like, she's like, how can I dance? Like, what? Like, it, like, literally using that as a current excuse as to why she's not a pop star and why she wants to write this column for Pandora. So she's like, when I'm off my shift, when I have a moment, I will talk to you in the alley. But as of now, I'm working and I take my job seriously. So I'll talk to you when I have a minute. So Stassi, like, totally tried to pull rank. And I will give it to Sheena. She held her own for a little bit. Like, she should have stayed seated for a little bit longer because she was making Stassi squirm. You know how Stassi, like, once you stand up to Stassi, she flips out. And she was starting to flip out.
That's when she cries.
And then Sheena kind of gave in, which sucked because she almost had her.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
That would have been the opportune time to call Lisa over, maybe, for a little bit of a intervention. Because they're both working, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, get back to work, Stassi. Stop fucking around. So, that alley back there, you've been back there a bunch of times. You've been in the restaurant a bunch of times. A lot of the conversations take place back there. Who has to hear that shit? Like, the overflow of cursing and, you know, smoking and...
Well, every time I've gone to the alley just because it's so iconic. And I legit have seen them taking breaks back there. It's kind of a mess, which does not seem very like Lisa-like. But like, they have like chairs and like tables stacked up back there. And so it's kind of by like the bathroom and the kitchen. So the kitchen guy's for sure here because there's like a window with like bars on it and they look out. Like, the sink is right there. They're washing dishes and they can see out. And then there's a hallway where the bathroom is. And the guests are super out of the way. You'd have to, like, come all the way to the bathroom and then walk out to see it.
Like, are there other businesses back there? Like,
no.
Okay.
There's a dumpster. And
I mean, do fans ever cruise back there? And
Yeah, for sure. Now they've, like, painted, like, a step and repeat back there and everything. So they know that it's iconic. But anyway, so the conversation, so finally Sheena like gets out there and she's like, what is your problem? Like, why are you so mad? She's like, I just don't understand why you are trying, like, you're so obsessed with me. Why are you trying to take over my life? And I remember at this point thinking that Stassi was like crazy. I'm like, okay, like, give Sheena a break. Like, it's kind of cool that Pandora asked her to write a column. It's kind of cool that, like, why can't you just share, you know, what you want to do or whatever. But I really think that, I don't know, like, have you ever had a friend that like just like totally copies you and like you just want to say to them, like, stop trying to be me? And I really think that Sheena wanted like that fan appreciation and like everything that Stassi had.
Yeah, I've seen it before. No. I think exactly. I think she was trying. Yeah. No, she was copying everything she was doing. She was mimicking her whole, you know, setup, her whole thing. I guess she was trying to play her way into position number one, which didn't seem to work out very well. But it didn't work out for Stassi as well. She was downgraded as well. She lost her position. She ended up looking crazy. She ended up, I don't know, just kind of, you saw too many holes in her whole game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she had a glass house, you know, yeah, what I mean? And she was constantly, you know, shitting on people. So that motherfucker got torn down. Like, she lost it. She lost it big time.
Yeah. You know,
she lost her position, but Sheena didn't gain really anything.
So Sheena kind of ends this like fight in the alley where she's like, you know, like, bottom line is, Stassi, like, you never even like called when I almost like died at the dentist. And Stassi's like, God damn it. Like, it was just the dentist office. Like, go hobble away. So she, like, in classic Stassi form, she commands Sheena to hobble away, and she does. Mm-hmm. And that kind of ends that fight. So next up, we see, we find out that Jax did, in fact, get the tribal tattoo covered up, and he got the Stassi tattoo. But he's not going to reveal it yet because... it's not healed yet, and he really wants to just save that. So T. Sandy is helping Jax get ready for his date with Stassi, and Jax is feeling, you know, a little nervous, which T. Sandy is like, this is kind of weird for you. Like, why are you so nervous, Jax? And he's like, I don't know. Like, you know, I just really care. And do you want to guess what T. Sandy dressed, how he styled Jax? Like, what is a classic T. Sandy look? What do you think he included? I'll give you a hint. It starts with a V.
Skinny tie, V-neck?
A vest.
A vest?
Like, isn't that such a classic T. Sandy staple? He loves a good vest.
Yes.
He loves a vest, like a jacket over it. Like, that is classic T. Sandy.
That's, like, too much work for Jax. Jax can't even think about that.
And, like, a vest on Jax tends to, like, bulk him up a little too much. Like, it's a little too much, like, in the neck area for him. Like, yeah, T. Sandy can pull it off because he's, like, long and lean. Jax is, like, a little, like...
Too much padding.
Like, a little munchkin. You're like, ugh. Like,
yeah.
Anyways, so he gets him all dressed and, you know... ready for his date. And Stassi also is getting ready. Like, she's in the bathroom with Christina Kelly and Katie, and she's talking about how she has a date, and the girls are like, dude, what the heck, why do you have a date? Like, why are you dating Jax? And that's when she admits that she's effed him 3 times, but she's not gonna do anything. Like, her friends are just like, all right, dude. And I think Christina Kelly's like, keep your legs closed or something like that. So Stassi goes out. She's wearing like this tight little leather skirt. Like, for someone who doesn't care, she went out looking like smoking hot. They both dressed up like ridiculously for each other. So Jax pulls into the alley, his truck. Stassi walks out into the alley, open way, and he opens the door for her like a true gentleman. And she's like, why are you opening the door for me? This like isn't a date. And he's like, what? Like, it's like, isn't that what gentlemen do? And she's like, yeah, so why are you doing it? Like, just like, just making him feel like crap, you know, for anything that he's doing. So he's like, oh, I guess I can't win anything. So he like shuts the door, and like they take off, and he you know, she's like, this isn't a date. And Jax is like, yes it is. And
it's very comical to see Jax when he's trying, like when he's really trying to put forth that effort, because you know he doesn't want to. He's doing it. He's going through all the motions, but he would rather not, you know.
So, you haven't watched all of Jax and Brittany Take Kentucky, but Sarah and I just finished that series, mm-hmm. And in the last episode, Jax says that he's like putting Brittany down, and he's like, why don't you, he's like all these bars and like strip malls, he's like putting down strip malls, like putting down Kentucky, like acting like it's a small dump town. And I just want to point out that Jax takes Stassi to a strip mall restaurant in this episode, and it's like totally like in a tiny little like strip mall. He opens the door, and it's like very, it's like designed like Les Deux, you know, like totally like the 2007 like wallpaper with like the, what design is that? Like, it's like
crackle.
Like velvety, like velvet, like burgundy with the black, like velvet design, like the swirlies, you know, like super Les Deux, like that.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, so it's like super like dark and like lame looking. So they sit down, and Jax gets to work on pleading his case. He's like, listen, Stassi, like, I just wanted to let you know. And like, he's talking in this way where he's like a beaten down puppy. You know, he's like, I got a studio apartment. I'm working on myself. I also covered up that tribal tattoo like you wanted. And I still love you. And she's like, well, let me see the tattoo. And he's like, it's not ready. You can't see it. And like, there might be a little surprise there for you. And she's like, let me see it. You know, so you're like, oh my God, she's going to ask to see it tonight and they're going to bone. But no, that doesn't happen. So
he says that he still has to work on a couple more things he's got. So what did he say? It was going to go from black to color.
Yeah.
Something lame. I don't know. Come on, dude. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Jax, you're fucking it up here, man. Stop trying so hard, buddy. Seriously. Like, you are not doing yourself any favors here.
Yeah. So then, you know, I don't really know what happens at dinner, but they get into the truck and like shit goes down. So they get into, you know, she's like, he's like, just tell me, like, and he's so freaking whiny in this scene. Ugh. Like, he's like, do I have a chance? Like, I'm trying everything I can. He's like all nasally.
This is like cameras off. Your real self comes through. Their real.
Yes. And she's like, Stassi's like, I don't trust you. You should probably just move on. Like, I'm done. Like, I don't trust you. That, like, it's never going to happen. And you noticed something in this episode that I didn't. Stassi is smoking a cig.
I bet these people are chain smokers, but they don't ever show that in this
Stassi series. Quit smoking. I don't know what season, but she has since quit smoking. I've seen Kristen Doty smoke in person.
It's become very, very, I feel like it goes through its phases of being cool. At this time, it was sort of like the, it was a cool thing to do. It was almost like a rebellious thing to do in a way. Right, especially for actors and models and whatnot. They all smoke a lot. But around this time, you know, 2012, 13, 14, kind of still a little rebellious. Now it's like downright, you know, terrible. Very, very terrible.
Yeah.
So you don't really see many. And it goes to show, like on a network TV series.
Well, I don't know.
They won't show it.
Yeah, but if there is a place that people smoke, it's in LA.
Yeah, of course. But when is the last time you saw somebody
on TV
smoking on TV, like on a reality show? Did the Housewives, did any of them smoke? I'm sure, like you're telling
me. Yeah,
they
have shown it lately, I feel like. No, I don't think the women like to be filmed like that. I don't think that, yeah, they know what their image is and that's not part of it.
Nobody has been filmed. Like, even when they are being filmed smoking, they usually take it out. Or they'll, yeah, in this scene, Stassi, you can see her hand down at the very side of Jax's truck. She's smoking in his truck, which is kind of an asshole thing to do, smoking in someone's car.
I feel like jumping ahead to season six, I feel like in season six, we are gonna, I wonder if, can they show pot smoking on TV?
I don't know.
Because sure. There's been like a huge like push and like promotion of pot smoking amongst the Vanderpump Rules cast. Like, it's like very cool to smoke pot. Yeah. Lala's all about it. Sheena has come out being like smoking a shit ton of pot.
Which is crazy because 10 years ago, if there was any sort of mention of that, people lost their jobs. People would get, I mean, we all go to drug tests when we work at restaurants, right?
Mm-hmm.
They send you to go get a drug test. What's the point of that now? I think in an area where it's legal, I don't think it's an issue. You know, like YouTube videos, they'll take those down if they're promoting illegal drug use. But if you are proven to be using it for legal, if you're doing it in a legal way,
yeah.
I think it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, are you talking about like as a normal person, like that's your view on it?
No, I'm just talking about the legalities in TV or like YouTube and things like that.
I mean, I personally am like kind of excited for if they show this, like I am down because I mean, nothing is better than seeing like the cast get effed up. Like if they're not going to drink a shit ton of alcohol, then let's give them pot. Like, I mean, something, anytime you mix a bunch of stuff, like stuff's going to happen. So I'm all for it. But like, for instance, I just watched Lala's Instagram live today and she was like high as a kite and drunk, I think. And it was so entertaining. Like I yelled for you to come look like 8 times. Like I was like rolling. It was very entertaining.
That's another thing too. It's like, it's,
but I don't know how, I don't like, how would that fare, I guess, amongst everyone? Does everyone think that's funny? I don't know.
I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's legal. Pot's legal.
Yeah.
Right. It's not a big deal anymore, really. I mean, it never really should have been a big deal, but there was this stigma, right? people put that on pot, and now it's like, what's changed? What's changed now? I mean, you had people freak out about it before, and they would, you know, you were going to jail. Why were you going to jail? Either are you going to jail because it's illegal, or are you going to jail because it's immoral or it's wrong? You know what I mean? So which one is it?
Yeah.
And I think they've established it's not. It's not immoral. It's not wrong. So why should it be illegal? So I think that's why a lot of people have relaxed on that. So
yeah. So anyways, I hope that, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see like what they show this season, because also I think they're going to be, you know, focusing on Ariana's brother a little bit more. He's a huge hippie/pothead. I mean, he admits that. He works at Lisa's restaurant. I don't know. I think that it's going to be a whole new, like, there is a big hippie vibe that maybe people don't know about, you know, in WeHo.
Yeah.
But okay, let's finish up the episode because we're literally done. So Jax pulls up to Stassi's apartment, and he's pleading with her. Like, it's like so cringy. He's like, you know, like, please, like, I just like want to work this out. And she's like, she is just done. She's
and
like,
and she's doing this whole thing of where she's just like standing outside of the car, and he's like, get in.
Yeah, she's doing the look back, like she like takes 5 steps in her high heels and then like slowly turns and like looks back with like sad eyes and then like walks back, like basically like, if you really want it, like chase me in and knock on the door, maybe I'll open it, like that.
Yeah. Would she have let him in if he had gotten out of the truck? I just feel like whatever he did at the restaurant sealed his fate. Like, it was, she was totally turned off.
Yeah, I think she just realized, like, what am I doing? Like, I, you know, the reason why I'm not talking to him is because of X, Y, and Z. And I told him to change Y and Z, and he did, and I still feel the same way. Like, what am, like, I feel like something switched in her head. And for that, I feel bad for Jax, because I think he, you know, he thought he seriously had a shot at this point, and she is just like cold. Like, she's like, nope, I'm done. And she, like, she looks back, walks on the sidewalk, goes into her apartment and shuts the door. And Jax is left having to drive away in his truck. And that's where we're left in this episode. So it's like, you know, what's going to happen?
Well, look, the whining didn't help. His whining didn't help get him in that apartment. And it just looks like he's doing things for show now. Have you ever been around somebody who's like so nice to you and so accommodating to you, and you're like, I don't know, let me think about it, and they're just like, fine then, F you, nah, I never liked you anyway, you piece of crap.
Yes, yes.
That's what Jax is doing right here.
Yeah, oh,
and,
yeah.
And like I said, the mask starts slipping here. We see Jax in his sort of, like, I feel bad for Frank, because Frank did seem like an asshole, but Jax has got some real anger issues too, man. He's got some real violent, angry tendencies here.
Oh, totally. Like, he still does.
I wouldn't even put it past him to maybe get physical with the guy, get physical with the woman, get physical with everybody, like, to get physical, to be domestically abusive, you know, I wouldn't put that past him.
Yeah.
So who knows? But he gets very aggressive here. Like, someone drives by and honks, and he's like, shut up! Come on!
Yeah,
he's throwing a fit.
He's real frustrated at this point, and so that's where we're left. You know, it's like the episode ends and we're like, oh my God, Jax is frustrated, and Stassi just like shut the door on their relationship. And but then we see next week, and they go to Lake Arrowhead next week, which is a amazing episode. I can't wait to cover that one.
This is going
to
be the tattoo reveal.
Yes, yes, which is just bomb.
And there's a little bit of a reconciliation.
And Nikolai.
This is the first appearance of Nikolai?
Yeah, yeah.
The first official...
Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
Lines he's ever had.
Yeah. I can't wait. So, you guys, I hope you liked this recap. We're happy to be back doing the retro episodes. We're happy to have Chad back finally. I had to like pull him to sit in the chair to do this because he's just been like so busy. He's been wanting to, but finally I was like, that's it. Just sit down. Like, we'll just whip it out and do it. So
yeah, I mean, things have been really tough for me lately with work, you know, but I'm trying to make some extra time for you guys. We would love to do this every night, but we'll
plug away. But you guys, I have read him every message that you've sent, and thank you so much for tweeting about the retro episodes and talking about him. Like, it just, when you guys let us know that you listen or that you've connected with one word that we have said, you have no idea how great it makes us feel. It makes all this worth it. And we love connecting with you guys. So thank you from us to you for listening and for letting us know that you guys like what we are saying. And yeah, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, we do appreciate it. And Holly's working extra hard on her episodes and interviews. This is only a small part of what she does. You know, I'm just here as a guest for the retro episodes. So, you know, she's got more in store for you guys. So this is a whole big, you know, smorgasbord of content you're going to be receiving for Vanderpump Rules and its, you know, affiliate shows. So stay tuned.
Yeah. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.